Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon.
One day at work last week, I stepped away from my desk for a few minutes, and when I got back, there were some papers on my office desk chair, and it was actually a copy of some lecture notes from the recently concluded Philadelphia Church of God Ministerial Conference. These notes were dropped off by Pastor General Gerald Fleury, and there was a note on there that said, "Use for radio," and of course, when that is written as a suggestion, I take it as absolute. So we will be talking about that today in our second section of the program, just these notes from the conference to hopefully give you, the listener, some insight into what God's ministers learned at that conference, which ended just under 2 weeks ago. But first, take a moment to just sit back and relax, because we are going to jump into Behind the Work story time. This is a rather lengthy quote from our free book, Raising the Ruins, the first couple pages here. And you'll probably understand pretty quickly why we're reading this today. When Herbert W. Armstrong died on January 16, 1986, he left behind a church with 725 congregations in 57 countries around the globe, and a powerful work going out to the world. It had a weekly worldwide attendance of 120,000 people, and another 210,000 outside the church donated money regularly. Serving these many members, prospective members, and contributors were more than 1,200 ministers worldwide. And by way of comparison, the recently concluded ministerial conference had just 61 ministers. So you just start to get an idea of how big this work under Mr. Armstrong was. Continuing the quote here in Raising the Ruins, the church's annual revenue was $163.7 million, a budget bigger than Jerry Falwell's and Billy Graham's organizations combined. Religious writer Richard N. Osterling wrote a story for Time just weeks after Mr. Armstrong died, in which he analyzed the growing popularity of televangelists during the mid-1980s. None of the preachers spotlighted, however, not Jimmy Swaggart, Oral Roberts, Jim Backer, Jerry Falwell, or Robert Schuller, generated as much revenue as Herbert W. Armstrong. At the top of Osterling's list of televangelists was Jimmy Swaggart's weekly TV show, which could be viewed in 197 markets as of early 1986. It was followed by Oral Roberts, airing in 192. Jerry Falwell could be seen in 172 markets, while Schuller's Hour of Power aired in 169 cities. These programs were all dwarfed by Herbert W. Armstrong's World Tomorrow, which could be seen on 382 television stations, far more markets than any other religious program in America, as well as 36 radio outlets around the world. Herbert W. Armstrong was one of the best-known, most prominent religious leaders in the 20th century. In fact, when you consider how tiny his work was at the beginning in 1933, and how its far-reaching influence encompassed the earth by the time of his death in 1986, one could justifiably argue that Herbert W. Armstrong was the most significant theologian in American history. And the fruits of his globe-girdling work continue in this quote for the next page and a half. Again, you can get this book, Raising the Ruins, for free. You can find it at thetrumpet.com. The Bible says that by your fruits you shall know them, or by their fruits you shall know them. And that definitely applies to the work that God did through Mr. Armstrong. And just in 2 days, on Wednesday, January 16th, we will be memorializing the 33-year anniversary of the death of this great man. So something to think about this week, and for those of you KPCG listeners who might be new to this work, to this radio station, maybe you'll understand a little bit more why we speak so much and so highly of Mr. Armstrong. Clearly a great work being done by God through him. All right, so let's get into these lecture notes from the conference that just ended on January 1st, I believe, or January 2nd. And this is from a two-part lecture at the conference given by Australasia Regional Director Alex Harrison. I actually interviewed him on the show last week. And the title of this lecture is The Spirit of Godly Thinking. He starts out by quoting Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. So let's just remember for a moment that every one of these lectures, which totaled about 40 hours worth of instruction, targeted the ministry specifically. So this was instruction that could help the ministry in their thinking, their speaking, their writing, their counseling of members, their visiting of prospective members, delivering messages to the people. A lot of practical instruction delivered at the conference. All right, so let's just read Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9 to start off. I'll just flip to it right here. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." As Mr. Harrison pointed out, this is a total contrast in thinking. Human beings naturally just do not have the depth of thought, the quality of thought that God does. And yet, to true Christians, God issues the challenge to learn to develop Jesus Christ's mind. Mr. Fleury has called this a mountain-sized objective, to think like God, and it's only possible through the power of God's Holy Spirit. When Mr. Harrison gave this lecture at the conference, he said that his main source material was 14 pages of thoughts and comments and inspired insight from Mr. Fleury. And during his time as a worldwide Church of God minister, Mr. Fleury traveled through his region, especially up there in eastern Washington. And as he was riding around, he would dictate some of his thoughts into a dictaphone. And later he had these thoughts transcribed from the dictaphone into typed up notes. So Mr. Harrison gave the lecture, but he did give credit to Mr. Fleury's notes for being the source. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24 says that the ministry of God is meant to be helpers of the people's joy. So the members in the church, all those who are supporting the work and in contact with the ministry, should gain great benefit from the presence, from the example, from the hard work and service of God's ministers. So Mr. Harrison was specifically talking to the ministers on how to be a gift to the brethren by using godly thinking. He then gave 7 points about godly thinking. The first point was, get away from the natural, habitual way of thinking. In other words, get away from carnal thinking. This requires a bit of understanding about the human spirit and human nature. From our earliest days on earth, we humans naturally think like Satan the devil. He is always influencing, he's broadcasting, he's making us take on his moods and his attitudes, his corrupted way of thinking. And it is not until we actively fight against that our thinking begins to change. Romans 12 says that our minds must be transformed away from this natural carnal way of thinking. And again, that is only possible through the Holy Spirit. So we have to realize that the way that we naturally think is a problem. Otherwise, we'll never have the motivation to change it. Point number 2 of this lecture was to strive for a mathematic imagination. And this comes directly from those notes from Mr. Fleury as well. Mr. Fleury wrote about having a math imagination like Isaac Newton. That means engaging in logical thought and not in daydreaming. It's hard to imagine God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, just letting their minds wander, thinking about useless things. No, their thoughts are not our thoughts. Their thoughts are higher than our thoughts, more than we can even imagine. So they must have deeply structured, logical thinking. That's what we're striving for as well as we endeavor to become perfect every day. God has a multidimensional mind. He's not shallow in any way. He doesn't just have maybe one or two things that he cares about. He has a lot of things on his mind, an entire master plan that he is carrying out this very moment. He's been carrying it out for many millions of years even. And of course, with human beings specifically, he's been carrying this plan out for 6,000 years. It takes a lot of focus, a lot of right thinking to execute a plan like that. Mr. Harrison pointed out that we all need a lot more strong, deep meditation about everything that's going on within the work, within our personal lives. Thinking about what's in the Bible and the truth that we understand. And he said, we really have to think hard. Colossians 3 verse 2 talks about setting your mind on the things above, thinking about the spiritual things, the riches spiritually that God is trying to offer us, and not just thinking about the selfish, petty things of the day-to-day. So again, structured, really you could say mathematical thinking. And he even showed how this connects to the minister's job of communicating, writing words, speaking in words that have vivid detail, that really do paint a picture in the mind, taking the reader into your world, into your mind, capturing completely the reader's imagination, a lot like the writer Joseph Conrad did. So point three from this lecture from Mr. Harrison is, have a continual pursuit of perfection. And again, these points are specifically directed toward the ministry, but it's pretty easy to see how we could all benefit from these types of points. Becoming perfect is obviously our ultimate goal as true Christians. In fact, a lot of God's ministers have been talking about these lecture notes from Mr. Fleury. He first distributed these notes from his experiences as a WCG minister back at the 2010 ministerial conference, and they've been talked about much more recently. In fact, Mr. Joel Hilliker, the host of the Trumpet Hour radio program, talked about this just last Monday at our Edmond Graduate Spokesman Club. Here's some of Mr. Hilliker's takeaways from those same notes. In these notes, Mr. Fleury said that we are to be perfect. He points out, Mr. Hilliker does, that in the Overcomer booklet that Mr. Fleury wrote, he admonishes us to pray for God to expose our secret faults, to pinpoint your greatest enemy. What is your greatest enemy? What is your biggest human weakness? And how can you conquer that? And of course, a lot of that does take deep thinking, deep consideration, serious self-examination. He's here paraphrasing Mr. Fleury again, Mr. Hilliker last week at club. Do you have a system to deal with problems? He talks about how it takes solitude to be creative. What if you're afraid of being alone? What if you don't like being by yourself and thinking deeply? Should you balk at that or should you face it head on? Whatever your struggle is, whatever you are dealing with right now, are you afraid to make the sacrifice that it takes to overcome? That's what we're talking about. We're either growing or declining. We can't afford to have complacency. These are all notes that I took from that lecture from Mr. Hilliker last week at Club. So we have Mr. Harrison giving a lecture at the conference from these notes from Mr. Fleury, and we also have Mr. Hilliker talking about these notes from Mr. Fleury last week at Club. And it really is inspiring to think about all of these helpful notes that Mr. Fleury gave to the ministry, and it was for the purpose of helping the rest of us. Mr. Hilliker pointed out how mediocrity infected the worldwide Church of God and how we're all prone to being half-hearted and lukewarm. He pointed out how Mr. Fleury said in these notes that he was going to have a year of new ideas. Imagine that. We're just at the beginning of another year, 2019. What if we all made this our year of new ideas? What an example it is to look to these notes, to look to the ways of Mr. Fleury as he was inspired by God, even all those years ago as a WCG minister. So back to these lecture notes from Mr. Harrison. Remember, point three there was have a continual pursuit of perfection. Never be satisfied, always aim higher. So, of course, on the one hand, we should be content with what God has blessed us with, but we should also not be content to settle when it comes to fulfilling spiritual goals. Point four in this lecture, before all, imitate no one. So he's talking about ministers allowing God to help them develop their talents for his purpose. And we can easily see how that applies to the rest of us too. It says here, we must let God guide us in developing our own talent. And he notes here, all this involves being focused on the work, setting the right goals. This show is titled Behind the Work. We should all be focused on the work, using our talents to serve the work in any way that we can. Point five of this lecture, seek to be receptive and perceptive. And there's a really great passage here that Mr. Harrison went to. If I can just pull that up here. It's Matthew 23, and it's Jesus Christ speaking. And he's basically just exposing the Pharisees. He's letting it be known that he knows what's in their hearts. He knows what's in their minds. They can try all they want to, but they can't hide that from Christ. So Matthew 23 and verses 25 through 28, I'll just read that to you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And back during Christ's day, the Pharisees appeared to most people to be the most righteous of everybody. And yet, Jesus Christ was receptive and perceptive. He could discern that maybe not all is what it seems on the surface. So this specifically, Mr. Harrison was talking about having Jesus Christ in ministerial counseling, letting Christ do the speaking, the counseling, the visiting, letting Christ's mind be receptive in working in each of God's ministers. But that applies directly to the rest of us as well, especially those of us who have families, those of us who are raising children. We do have to be receptive to our children, always looking to help them. And we also have to be perceptive, because sometimes maybe our children don't want to tell us the whole truth, or maybe they don't want to reveal some of their deeper insecurities and weaknesses, and we have to be able to analyze them in the right way to be able to help. Point six of this lecture from Mr. Harrison at the ministerial conference. Again, these points are all taken from Mr. Fleury's personal notes that he wrote down from his time as a WCG minister many years ago. Point six, and again, like I was saying, these points are all about the spirit of godly thinking. Point six, guard against the horrid danger of the near enough. So we must guard against that in order to become perfect. Sometimes we can think that whatever our effort level is or whatever we're trying to accomplish is near enough. It's good enough. We're close enough. We don't have to necessarily endeavor to perfect the minor details. And of course, this really does take God's thinking to fight against that tendency. We all tend to do that from time to time. We must seek and desire to go above and beyond. And finally, point seven, teach our teens to set goals. And this is an important job of the ministers. Mr. Armstrong always talked about how the young people within the church were the most important group to reach because they're already in the church. They're not necessarily converted, baptized members with God's Holy Spirit dwelling in them yet, but they are in a special category, as 1 Corinthians 7 points out, where God is working with them. Mr. Harrison writes in his notes here, we must ensure that we encourage our teens. I believe that if we encourage our teens in their future, challenging them to break their own sound barriers with God, whatever it is, breaking through in prayer, in studies, educational challenges, goal planning, career challenges, seeking counsel from parents and ministry, we must show them that God's church has many amazing opportunities now and for eternity. God is a God of hope. And then he is quoting Mr. Fleury, who is talking about helping the teens see that God will open doors for them. Probably everyone listening right now knows teens, has some teens in their lives, whether they're our own children or their relatives or just in our local congregation, or people that we come in contact with regularly. So many ways that we can try to help them out, give them the God family vision through our example. So again, it's not just something that the ministry can apply, even though this lecture was specifically aimed at the ministers. Mr. Harrison wrote in his notes here, show them that we can shape our own tomorrows. Teens need to really understand that God will respond according to their faith, just as he will respond to an adult. So just a really inspiring seventh point that he ended with there. So let's just recap these 7 points to give you a glimpse of just one two-part lecture that the ministers covered at this year's conference. The first point for developing godly thinking, get away from the natural habitual way of thinking. Second point, strive for a mathematic imagination. So again, we're talking about driving out carnal thoughts, taking in God's mind, being structured in our thinking and not just daydreaming. Point number three, have a continual pursuit to perfection. Point four, before all, imitate no one. So again, developing your specific talents. It's good sometimes to copy those who set a great example in certain areas, but each one of us is an individual, and we have to understand the particular talents that God has given us. Point number five, seek to be receptive and perceptive. That's really big for helping family members, especially as fathers and mothers. Or if you're a really good friend, you can try to be receptive to maybe some constructive criticism that they give you, and maybe you can be perceptive to them as well, kind of understanding when they're down and when they might need some encouragement. Point number six, avoid the horrid danger of the near enough. Again, we're striving for perfection. We don't want to just settle for anything less than that. And finally, point number seven, teach our teens to set goals. That's a great way to help them be driven and to stay with God long term, and not just leave when they turn 18. So these are some points to developing the spirit of godly thinking, and hopefully you understand a little bit of the valuable instruction that the ministers received at this year's conference. I just want to let you know at this point that there will not be a Behind the Work episode next week because we will be flying down to Florida for a personal appearance campaign. Mr. Fleury will be speaking to Philadelphia Trumpet subscribers there on Sunday and Monday. We definitely appreciate your prayers for all the logistics of that to fall into place and that people are inspired by the messages and stirred to make a real change in their lives based on what they hear. So we'll be down there Sunday and Monday. No program next week. However, I'll be back on the radio Friday for Trumpet Bookshelf at 10 a.m. Central Time. And in 2 weeks from today, hopefully we have some good interviews from the personal appearance campaign and we can give you some insight into what took place. Until then, you've been listening to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.